High default mode network activity in ME/CFS associated with decreased alertness, difficulty carrying out tasks, and more. By Court Johnson, February 11th, 2025. Small research teams can make a big difference. One wonders where we would be without Leighton Barnden and the National Center for Neuroimmunology and Emerging Diseases, or NCNED, team at Griffith University. The fact that the brainstem has become a major area of interest is largely due to Barnden and the NCNED team. Barnden has been attracted to the subcortical parts of the brain below the cerebral cortex, which affect basic things like movement, sensory signal processing, alertness, sleep, emotions, breathing, blood pressure, and heart rate, etc. Get these things wrong, and you have the potential for widespread problems. While some structural problems, reduced white matter, brainstem volume, have been found, the evidence thus far suggests that altered connections between the different brain regions are the central issue in ME/CFS and fibromyalgia. Something is off in the information highways that make the brain function smoothly. It's as if you plugged Los Angeles in and Google Maps kept directing you to San Diego. Altered connections are the least worst-case scenario regarding the brain, as repairing structural problems in the brain is very difficult, while altering the connectivity between regions of the brain can, at times, be done. The strange connections de Lange in 2003 found suggested that the parts of the brain involved in motor planning or movement weren't connecting properly. Miller found something similar when he probed the connections to the basal ganglia. With 11 studies popping up, by far the most impacted area, though, appears to be connections with the default mode and intrinsic networks. The study. The Australian researchers used an ultra-high field 7 Tesla MRI to assess the connections, blood oxygen levels, between 27 areas of interest in these regions of the brain as 31 ME/CFS and 15 healthy controls engaged in the Stroop cognitive task. In the study entitled Subcortical and Default Mode Network Connectivity is Impaired in Myalgic Encephalomyelitis Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, with the brainstem and cerebellum being particularly involved in cognitive impairment, motor dysfunction, and the sleep-wake cycle, the authors probed the connectivity, activity between A, the salience network, SA, and default mode network, DMN, and B, the cerebellar vermis and brainstem regions. The two regions, the default mode network, DMN. Because the DMN allows thoughts to bubble up, it can promote creativity. On the other hand, because it excels at introspection, it does not allow you to be present in the here and now. When you think about your past or the future, wonder how you are doing, what's happening to you, etc., notice the reference to yourself. The default mode network is in play. Since the DMN is self-referential, if you want to get something done, you need to turn it off. And that's what the salience network does. When it's time to buckle down and carry out a task, the salience network turns off the default mode network, stops the distractions, and effectively engages us in the task at hand. The cerebellar vermis. The cerebellar vermis regulates the autonomic nervous system, heart rate, breathing, arousal, via the brainstem. It is also involved in coordination, gait, and movement, and connects with the emotionally charged limbic system. Results. Movement problems. Reduced connectivity, read activity, between a part of the cerebellum and the brainstem suggests that the signals that help one move easily, track things with our eyes, stand correctly, and engage in skilled movements are not getting through as they should. Frontal brain problems. Stronger connectivity between the pontine nuclei and clusters of cortical voxels in the frontal pole and superior frontal gyrus suggests that frontal regions of the brain have been damaged. This is not new. Other ME/CFS and fibromyalgia studies have found that the frontal cortex, particularly the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, and anterior cingulate cortex have been impacted. These parts of the brain keep us on task, prevent distractions, integrate sensory signals, regulate movement, and keep the emotionally charged limbic system under control. This finding suggests that in ME/CFS, the brain has attempted to compensate for the frontal cortex failure by asking the pontine nuclei, a relay center that transmits information between the frontal regions of the brain and the cerebellum, to boost the signal and help people with ME/CFS complete tasks. The authors propose that a kind of hyperstimulation, or perhaps hyper-effort, has occurred. Problems with alertness, sleep, and more. More fun showed up when reduced connectivity to several areas of the cerebellum suggested that the reticular activation system, the RAS, which keeps us alert, regulates sleep-wake cycles and controls attention and the autonomic nervous system. All obvious problem areas in ME/CFS had been inhibited. DMN problems affect basic baseline functioning. The authors noted that the DMN's connections across the brain make it one of the primary intrinsic networks of the brain essentially responsible for the brain's baseline functions. As noted earlier, the default mode network, DMN, has shown up again and again in functional connectivity studies in ME/CFS. Instead of being inhibited, though, the DMN showed stronger connectivity activity in the ME/CFS patients than in the healthy controls. Overactivity of the DMN can have some real consequences. Mind wandering makes it more difficult to engage in tasks. Again, increased focus on oneself can lead to cycles of rumination, increased recall of past events, and more difficulty disengaging from negative thoughts has obvious consequences, and given a potential connection with the amygdala in ME/CFS, increased emotional responses to those negative thoughts may be present. Oh yes, high DMN activity is also a recipe for brain or fibrofog. One can see that the way the DMN functions to allow thoughts to bubble up, which can be a creative process, could turn harmful if anyone who's experienced traumatic events, such as in ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, or long COVID, when the thoughts that bubble up are going to be mostly negative. Increased pain. Positive correlations between several parts of the salience network provided a potential reason for the increased self-focus found, increased detection of stimuli and levels of pain, forcing one's attention onto those. Both the insula and anterior cingulate have been associated with fatigue and pain in ME/CFS and fibromyalgia. While not everyone with ME/CFS is in pain, many are, and everyone with fibromyalgia is. If conditions such as ME/CFS and fibromyalgia are, as Dr. Claw has proposed, at least in part sensory diseases, one can see all these issues. The difficulty being on task, the possibly increased rumination, the negative thoughts, might naturally emanate from the difficulty of trying clawing through a maze of sensory stimuli. With the body's alert systems on full blast, a degree of self-focus is probably an appropriate, if not helpful in the long run, response. Rumination has not been assessed much in ME/CFS or fibromyalgia, but the inability to do gainful work, or sometimes almost any work, the hit to finances, the loss of friends, the inability to do the thing that used to bring joy, all provide ample room for rumination. Implications for energy production. The default mode networks increase connections with the amygdala and hypothalamus in ME/CFS suggest a state of chronic stress has dysregulated both of the stress responses, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal HPA axis and autonomic nervous system activity. The energy-intensive nature of the autonomic nervous system in fight-flight mode puts extra strain on one's energy resources and the mitochondria, potentially leading to the state of immune cell exhaustion we've seen in these diseases. Getting stuck in default mode network mode, wandering thoughts, self-focused thoughts, negative thoughts, has major implications for energy. Trying to do a task while one's mind wanders uses more energy. If it's a physical task, remember the motor planning issue, moving smoothly and efficiently becomes impossible. With a mental task, one has to keep jerking oneself back to the task, a costly and PEM-inducing enterprise, as the brain has to keep shifting resources back and forth. We recently saw evidence of increased oxygen and glucose consumption in the brains of ME/CFS patients, and two large studies are underway to assess this. Negative emotions are also associated with increased levels of pro-inflammatory cytokines, such as IL-6, TNFA, and CRP, C-reactive protein, which can potentially slow the immune response, throw the gut microbiome off, accelerate cellular aging, and impact the cardiovascular system and metabolism. Dopamine connection. Because dopamine suppresses the default mode network, the low dopamine levels that may be present in these diseases may play a role in default mode network activation seen. One hypothesis proposes that low dopamine levels play a crucial role in fatiguing neurological diseases such as multiple sclerosis, ME/CFS, and traumatic brain injury. Dopamine provides the motivation and, therefore, the energy needed to engage in and carry out tasks. Since dopamine is the reward neurotransmitter, the low rewards associated with tasks in people with low dopamine levels could make it difficult to break out of a DMN chokehold. By assessing our energy state, it helps us choose what tasks to carry out. Low dopamine levels result in tasks being associated with low rewards, which translates into difficulty carrying out tasks. Stimulants like modafinil, Adderall, and Ritalin can be tricky to use, but they can increase dopamine levels and have been used successfully in some people with ME/CFS and fibromyalgia. Treatment suggestions. Treatment is not mentioned in the paper. Unfortunately, there don't appear to be any easy answers to the increased default mode network activity present in ME/CFS. Neurostimulation, transcranial direct current stimulation, transcranial magnetic stimulation, stimulants, mitochondrial support might help, but all the other recommendations I found involved mind-body techniques. Neuroplasticity practices, including mindfulness and meditation practices, challenging negative thoughts and replacing them, purposely bringing focused attention to bear, repeatedly returning oneself to the present moment, loving kindness meditations, breathing techniques to rebalance the autonomic nervous system, such as 4-7-8 breathing, inhale for 4 seconds, hold for 7, and exhale for 8, box breathing, which is more like 4-4-4-4, inhale, hold, exhale, and pause, each for 4 seconds. Alternate nostril breathing, relaxation exercises, brain training apps, good sleep practices, and gratitude journaling increases dopamine production. These were all suggested. Conclusion. Difficulties with movement, cognitive and physical exhaustion, mind wandering, difficulty keeping focus and completing tasks, negative thoughts, and increased pain levels, they are nothing new. It's good to see these issues show up in brain imaging studies. It may be possible for some people with these diseases to turn the default mode network down a bit and get some relief. Please support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. You can give a one-time donation at the link between the end of this article and the beginning of the comments section. You can also find a link there through which you can give monthly. Thanks for listening.